But we're going to get the views of Mark Serber joining us on the line today from Fox Soccer and Fox Sports International. Mark, you were at the game today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. Just what was the atmosphere like when the final whistle blew and the US men's national team beat Germany? I mean, completely unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was a big upset. Of course, it was Germany's B or C team. But I think the right word at the final whistle was relieved, as anything. There's obviously that penalty that could have been called in the two goals that the U.S. had given up late. But the way they held on it, I think the way they played through the first 65 minutes, they definitely deserved the win in the end.
I mean, there's been so much talk of this U.S. men's national team. Every single game that they go into, it's either one way or the other. It's up or down all the time. And I guess this game kind of highlights the inconsistencies in this U.S. side in the way that, you know, it's fantastic they're able to bag four goals against even a German C team, B team. But still at the back, it's still not quite right conceding three on the other end.
No, I think the back line is a big problem. I think that Omar Gonzalez and Matt Bessler at the moment are the answer in the center, but still Gonzalez is prone to that one big huge error, and there's certainly stuff to work on. I also think, and you have to, you know, take into account that they were exhausted with the tempo they were playing. But at the end of the game, those long balls out wide and the Germans' ability to take that ball down and then to cut inside, especially with players just diving in, and that's where both of those goals came from, and that's an area that I think the U.S. really has to shore up, is not letting those balls out wide. The same thing happened against Belgium, and then not letting the players cut in like that, and that's something that was very worrying too. I also think that you're exactly right, is the way we saw them come out and play high press, high tempo, and we've seen this before. It's Klinsmann's vision of what he's wanted ever since he took over the coaching job coming to fruition. But then in the next game, we see something totally different. And so that's my worry for these CONCACAF games, is they have the confidence, they know how to play, but are they going to come out with that same kind of tempo, that same press, that same verve and vigor? Are we going to see another kind of slow, grinded out CONCACAF game, which we tend to see where it looks like all 22 players on the field are in quicksand? And so for the U.S. to go ahead and do what they did against Germany and implement that in Jamaica, I think that's going to be the real test for them going forward.
How do you put that down onto? Do you put it down onto the 11 men on the pitch, or the 18 men in the squad, or do you put that down to Klinsmann's failing of them being able to play like this for one game but then not be able to play replicate it going into the next, and especially, as you say, in these CONCACAF games?
I think it's you know, as Klinsmann says, it's a learning process, and the line is you play at such a high tempo, it's very hard to do that time and time again, and especially in such a short space of time. So I think that, you know, part of it is maybe the way, and I'm not at these practices, maybe the way they're being pushed in practice, but it is also at the end of the day, it comes down to the 18 and the 11 on the field to do the job and to get it done. And so if they're not pressing from the very beginning, then that's on them, because Klinsmann can only tell them what to do. And if they can do it one game, they certainly should be able to do it on a more consistent basis. Other than fatigue, there's really no excuse not to do it every single game.
One of the questions that was asked to Klinsmann before the last round of qualifiers was about Landon Donovan's absence. He was still absent from the LA Galaxy side at that point, and whether Klinsmann had tried to get Donovan to come back into the US men's national team sort of frame. Are we seeing a US men's national team now, at least, that's starting to grow without Donovan and won't be relying on him, and doesn't seem to rely on him as much when you've got Dempsey and co being able to step up?
I think yesterday we saw that they have the ability to play without Donovan, but I think that we forget that when Donovan's at his best, he brings something to the table that not many other U.S. players, other than perhaps Dempsey, can really bring. So I think having a Donovan in your side is always going to make you better, but at the same time, I think Zusi showed yesterday that he's not essential. They don't absolutely need him. They're not going to live or die by whether or not Donovan's in the squad, but because of Donovan's quality, because of what he brings when he's at his best, I still think that you do need him, and that he is somebody who's obviously on the preliminary roster for the Gold Cup. And if he can get back to who he was before he took his sabbatical, then he's somebody that the USA does need. But now he's being pressed for places more than ever before. And I think Susie's done a great job filling the void.
We know that this back four has changed so many times, and it doesn't look settled yet. Do you see they're needing, from we look at this, the midfield that played yesterday with Zusi, Jones, Dempsey, Bradley and Johnson, do you see that being the five set midfielders, sort of with Dempsey maybe playing slightly further up behind Altidore, or do you think there is still change and scope that needs to be made in this midfield for the US men's national team?
Right now, I like it. I especially like the way they played yesterday. One thing I was really impressed with was the way that everybody got forward, and there were times when Fabian Johnson was able to cut in. If Altidore went away after Dempsey made a run underneath him, then Jones could take that middle, and Altidore was able to not only make those runs into the lanes that we usually haven't seen because he's usually isolated, but he was also able to come back and play one touch with the midfield and combine with them, because they were so much closer to him. So I think that this is a really good midfield going forward. I especially like Fabian Johnson out on the left with DeMarcus Beasley, just because both of them have experience at the outside back and outside wing position. They're able to interchange fluidly. If one goes forward, the other can go back. If Johnson goes inside, Beasley can then get forward down the outside. So I think that the left side is good. I think that this is a midfield that, if it can continue to play consistently, should be the men leading the attack, along with Altidore and Dempsey, just a bit further in front of them.
And now some people, and I'm not putting myself in this bracket, but some people have said that maybe Altidore isn't the right guy to lead the forward line for the US men's national team. Rafa, especially on the show, has been critical of Altidore. What's the real backing? Why do people think that Altidore isn't good enough, those critics that do say that? And how can he prove them wrong? Because he continues to put in decent performances for the US.
I think Altidore just needs to keep working. You talked to him in the post-game press conference. His confidence is very high. He believed in himself. He just believed that he needed the right chances. One of the things that Klinsmann said after the Belgium game is, you know, we can't just keep thumping long balls up to Altidore. What's happening with Altidore was the balls were coming in long to him. He's bringing them down. He's doing a good job on hold-up play and trying to bring the midfield in. But then what? There's nothing there. Yesterday, by them playing through the midfield and by the midfield playing higher, Altidore was able to make those runs that he makes in Holland that we haven't seen him, because he's always just coming back to get the ball. And now at the times that he did come back to get the ball yesterday versus Germany, the midfield was much closer to him, so he was able to combine with them, play off them, and then make those runs forward. And I think we definitely saw that on the goal with Clint Dempsey making that 30-yard run with the ball and giving it off to Zusi. Yeah, Altidore didn't have to come back for that ball, so he was able to make that run into the middle. Pirlo met Mertesacker, even though Mertesacker should have kept a better eye on him, and finish off, and that's what he did in Holland, and that's what he needs to do here. But Klinsmann also said in the press conference that we forget how young Altidore is, and it's still a growing process for him. And as Klinsmann said, with all due respect to Holland, the international level is 2 to 3 times greater, and he still has to get back up to that speed every time he's with the national team. I also think, you know, you looked at players like Terrence Boyd when he came in, and Boyd obviously had a great season in Austria, but just didn't bring the same thing to the table. Obviously, it was a very different time in the game. Everybody else was tired. He wasn't getting the service, but when he had the ball, he wasn't making the right decisions. I think Altidore was making the right decisions, and I think that the more he and Dempsey play with each other and the more that he learns from Dempsey, then the better Altidore is going to get. So I do think he is the right man for the job at the moment.
Now, looking at these two friendlies, we knew they were going to be very difficult for the US men's national team, and however much they prepared and treated them seriously, even though they were only friendlies, Belgium and Germany are two tough sides to play. How does Klinsmann come out of these two friendlies going into this Jamaica game? What's the spirit like but from the people surrounding the US men's national team now?
Well, the first thing I have to say is that RFK yesterday was awesome. I think the spirit and the crowd around the stadium was just incredible. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I'm going back to when I was like 5 or 6 years old, late 80s, early 90s, and Redskins games, and that place used to shake, and the entire stadium would shake. There's one section where the stands actually bounce, and yesterday, even sitting in the press box, was the first time that I've not only seen the bouncing of the stands, which the Screaming Eagles have been able to do on occasion, but I've also felt it shake all the way on the other side of the stadium. So for me, that was a great memory. I think from the Belgium game, they obviously came out with their reputation, especially Klinsmann, a bit in tatters. You know, we're playing these top sides. Usually we do better against European teams because, unlike CONCACAF teams, they give us the space in which to work. We didn't take advantage of that. I thought we were very lethargic. We weren't compact. We didn't close down the lines and played a terrible game against Belgium. I actually almost nodded off in the second half because I was so bored with the way we were playing. But then in just a short time, they went over the video and they were able to make all the adjustments. They made the adjustments. They played at a higher tempo. The way their lines were when they were at full speed was at times there was less than 35 yards between the forward and the central defender. And that's exactly what they need to do. So I think that even though everybody's cautiously optimistic with the fact that we did beat a German C team, we almost threw the game away, people really believe now if we play that kind of performance and we can put together full 90 minutes that we should come away from the next three games in qualifying with 9 points. And I think that that's the belief around the ground and certainly among the players.
Now, there is that mental side still of the U.S. men's national team struggle when they're away from home. They can put in these great performances and grind out difficult wins such as the blizzard against Costa Rica and the positive performance we saw in the last round of World Cup qualification at home. It's been away from home where they struggle. Going to Jamaica, a place where we didn't see the best out of the U.S. men's national team at all in the last round, how does Klinsmann, how does he get this side kind of rallied up to produce that home performance? Is it a case of finding just that certain bit of chemistry to get these players going again for when they're on the road?
Hey, I think it's the motivation. I think it's that understanding that it shouldn't matter where they play. A soccer field is a soccer field. They need to step on and get the job done no matter what. I think they also, you know, probably tense up a little bit. A CONCACAF qualifier is always going to be a slog. It's never easy. You never have the sort of space that you do in these friendlies, whether you're playing a CONCACAF team or not. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing for the U.S. is to come out and play with this tempo. And Klinsmann certainly has to continue to preach that, say, look what we did right from the Germany game. This is what we need to continue to do. He talks about wanting his players to hit that wall, to feel that pain. I think we saw them definitely hit that wall after about 65 minutes towards that 70-minute mark. I think the biggest thing for the U.S. at the moment is how they handle hitting that wall and how they handle getting through it. I wrote in a spread that's going to be up on football.com later this afternoon that the U.S. needs to handle it with a bit more grace. They need to handle it by being smarter on defense, not diving in, being more compact when they're tired than ever before, and then also being better and smarter in their possession, using possession to get their breath back when they're tired, to just play that ball around the midfield, not force things, and let themselves breathe again and begin to get that second win to go at Jamaica again. And I think those are the things that they're going to have to do. But it's funny that just historically the dynamic has always changed once we go into CONCACAF qualifiers. And I think one of the reasons we bought Klinsmann in was not only to play this modern style, but to play this modern, high-tempo, fast-paced style every single game. And I think that's going to be the true mark of Klinsmann, is not only can he get us to play this way, but can he get us to play this way in the games that truly matter? And obviously there are going to be games where you have to play in a different way in order to grind out a result, and we've shown that we can do that too. But can we win while playing attractive soccer, not only in friendlies, not only at home, but can we do it on the road as well? And that's where he's ultimately going to be judged.
Should U.S. soccer fans be worried about how close the opening three games of the hexagonal round have been for all of these sides? We've seen some shock results in the World Cup qualification in CONCACAF. If you're a U.S. fan, is that a positive thing? Because you're thinking, well, Mexico and Honduras, you know, they're not getting allowed to run away with this at any point. Or do you think it's so close? I mean, we slip up a couple of times with the odd dodgy result away from home, and suddenly we could be looking, you know, staring into the bear pit.
Yeah, I think it's something that everybody should be pretty nervous about, but at the same time, we should enjoy it. Every game is going to be a tough game, and it's fun now to keep an eye on all the other results too. And that's something that I think shows the growth of CONCACAF. And people outside of this region don't understand how hard qualifying from CONCACAF is. Yeah, USA, Mexico usually make their way out of it, usually finish 1 and 2, but it might be different this time around. I think results really show that. And I think it makes each game for U.S. soccer fans not only more nerve-wracking, but more exciting too, knowing that it's not going to be the kind of stroll through the park that it used to be. And I think credit to the other nations for catching up a bit.
It was going to be very interesting indeed come Friday evening for the US men's national team as they get set to take on Jamaica. Three big games coming up in June. And Mark, it's an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you about the first one of those. And I'm sure we'll try and get you back on World Football Daily to talk about the remainder of the World Cup qualifiers for the US men's national team coming up in June, mate.
That sounds great.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show, mate. And we look forward to listening to you again on Fox Soccer and getting you back on here as soon as possible, man. Take care and have a fantastic Monday and a great rest of the week as well, man.
Thank you.
Cheers there. Mark Serber joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things US men's national team soccer and that fantastic result against Germany.